One of the classic problems for clergy of all faiths is that there's a calendar. And every year, Thanksgiving pops up, and Yom Kippur, and Easter, and New Year's, and Christmas. And we keep looking for different weird ways of attacking these subjects. And when you're Unitarian Universalist, you're really looking for weird ways of attacking the subjects because we want to be serious without being literal. So I was agonizing over how to deal with this sometimes called holiday season, but really holy day season in Judaism of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And I was musing over several bottles of wine up in Napa. So I was doing my research. I want you to know I was doing my due diligence for you and looking for things to repent for next year. I was up at a wedding in the wine countries that some wino friends were giving for their wino children. And I was not doing the ceremony. I was just a guest, which meant I could have a couple of glasses of wine because when I work, I don't drink. I walk such a fine line of bad taste and absolute catastrophe, cold sober, that I don't do any public speaking with alcohol involved. So this was really a great kind of busman's holiday where I got to sit out in this beautiful vineyard, listen to a wonderful service that was done by the sisters of the groom and of the bride who got a license to do it, and they did a lovely job, and I wasn't at all critical. They could not have done better. And then the next day at the breakfast, the reception, they called me over and said, we got this wedding license thing, and one of the witnesses signed where he was supposed to print and printed where he was supposed to sign and then crossed out where he each one and then printed where he was supposed to print and signed where he was supposed to sign. Do you see any problems with that? Well, yeah, I did. There were a couple of problems with it. This does lead to Yom Kippur, incidentally. And that is, on legal documents, you can't alter them. Once you've witnessed a document, you start changing names and signatures, you put into question the validity of the document. Now, if they had just signed and printed in the wrong place, probably, given all of the cutbacks, nobody would have noticed. But since there were strikeovers and corrections, I told them, this certificate is probably going to come back. You're still married, it's still legal, but it's going to come back to get redone. And since the two officiants both lived out of state, I ended up, in fact, signing the certificate, and I'm sure that it will come back. And I explained to them, and this is the theme of the sermon today, that in terms of government work, you can make mistakes, but you can't correct them. Well, that applies to so much in life, that we make mistakes and don't know how to correct them, don't know how to acknowledge them, don't know how to deal with them. And that's the theme of the days of awe, those days between Rosh Hashanah, meaning literally the head of the year, the new year, and Yom Kippur, which means the Day of Atonement. But I'll get into that a little more detail. It's a time for introspection, a time for self-examination, for, as they say in AA, a frank and fearless inventory of our lives. And the reason that in AA you're asked to be frank and fearless is because it is hard to be frank and it is hard to be fearless. It's hard to look honestly and truthfully inside at our lives, at what we're doing, at why we're doing it, and whom we have touched, whom we have hurt by omission or commission. And those are difficult things. And yet, every religious tradition sets aside a time to do this. It is the days of awe in Yom Kippur in Judaism. It is Lent in Christianity, and in Shiite Islam it is Ashura, which are also 10 days of introspection, atonement, and repair. The word that gets used on Yom Kippur is an interesting one because it's related to some Syrian, Aramaic, and Arabic words. And it means literally not simply atonement, not simply feeling bad. There are two things that you do during the Yom Kippur service or season. One of them is called tshuva, and that is you look at yourself and you say, how am I doing? What rules did I break where I disappointed myself, where I hurt myself, where I transgressed against my own values, or theologically, where I transgressed against God? And that I can pray for forgiveness. I can forgive myself. I can expect the universe to forgive me my transgressions against self. Because we're not supposed to schlep around our sins, our errors, like Marley's ghost. We are supposed to be able to put them down and get on with our lives. Wallowing is seldom therapeutically effective. But there's a second part, and that's the Kippur. And the Kippur means literally to cover. And it's not to cover up, as in you put white out on your error on that wedding certificate and print over it, but you cover your sins against others with repair. You cover your misdeeds with good deeds, with reparation. If I steal Judy's purse, and I take it that this is your purse, she stole it from someone else, I can't theologically ask divine forgiveness. I have to make restitution, and I have to, in a sense, confront myself and begin a process of repair. Now, we have a stereotype of religion being inflexible and the secular world being flexible. But as my wedding certificate experience indicates, that's, as with so many stereotypes, has some truth, but it's not the whole truth in anything resembling all of the truth. In the secular world, we make lots of errors that we don't admit. White out is probably one of the greatest abused drugs of our lives, the kind of emotional white out where we cover up. In the world of politics, nobody has ever made a mistake other than getting caught. The classic question of when a tree falls in the forest, if no one's there to hear it, did it make a noise? The answer is clear in politics. If nobody hears it, if you're not found out, there's no sin, there's no transgression. The only sin and transgression is getting caught. I never make mistakes. Mistakes were made. Passive voice by some undisclosed person in an undisclosed location. Policies in politics never change. Because if you change the policy, you would be admitting that your previous policy was flawed. And you can't admit that, or you have a gotcha moment. And if you change your policy, the question then becomes, well, when did you realize that you were wrong? Could you have realized a minute before or a minute after? Isn't it a further error in transgression that you didn't change the policy at exactly the right time? So often in the secular world, sometimes even in the familial and the marital world, I'm looking for nods of recognition here, we have a great deal of difficulty saying, oh, whoops, I'm sorry, not, oh, I'm sorry I got caught, but whoops, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I looked at what I did out of reflex, out of anger, out of ignorance, and it wasn't the best thing at the time. How do we mend it if we don't examine it and own it? One of the things that we do in our society, and Unitarian Universalists are as guilty as any, is that we don't like the word sin. We prefer the word error or I was misinformed. But, you know, we human beings sometimes deny, and sometimes we take things that we feel were our transgressions, our errors, and instead of admitting them, we hide them, like an unpaid bill in the bottom drawer of an old desk that we stuck in the garage when we got a new desk, and we hope that it's going to stay buried, except 3 o'clock in the morning from time to time, you hear above your heartbeat, tick, 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 tick. And it calls because it can't be buried deeply enough in that bottom of that drawer, in that desk, in that garage. We are almost always better off looking for it, taking it out, holding it up to the light, and then deciding to repair. None of us is going to lead lives without error. None of us is going to lead intimate lives where we don't step on each other's toes, hurt each other, sometimes out of bad reflex, and sometimes just by accident. And unless we can look at that, unless we can look at ourselves honestly, whether it's during the days of awe or during Lent or during Ashura or any of those seasons that religions put aside, that tick, tick, tick gets in the way of our future. There's a cliche that we can't change the past. It's not completely true. By owning the past and examining the past, we can change our understanding of what we did, why we did it. We can learn from our mistakes. Most of us learn more from our mistakes than we do from our triumphs. So if we bury our error and deny our error, we deny ourselves the opportunity to learn, to grow, and to heal. The purpose of all of these seasons is not simply to beat the breast, not simply to flagellate ourselves or to wallow ritually. Those may be symbols that people who are not willing to go deeply enough into the traditions follow, and they'll beat their breasts but without self-examination. The process begins with that fearless and frank inventory of how we have been, how we have been, and how it fits with our values and how we want to be. And then we take those errors and have the opportunity to grow as human beings, to seek forgiveness, to make repair and reparation, not to cover up our misdeeds, but to cover them with good deeds. Every day is a perfect opportunity, but as with most of our holidays and holy days, there are certain times set aside. And if we take them not literally any more than 5,773 years, but take them seriously for their emotional and psychological intent, there are tremendous opportunities. Unitarian Universalists don't usually like the word sin, but whether you do it from a religious viewpoint, turn back, O man, forswear thy foolish ways. That was not written by Stephen Schwartz for Godspell. That's an old Episcopal hymn. And turning and returning back to our best selves, whether from a theological viewpoint, a Freudian viewpoint, or the Socratic viewpoint that the unexamined life is not worth living, all of those conspire to encourage us to sit quietly from time to time, to look at how we are in our world, in our communities, in our families, and with ourselves, and begin an active process not of ritual healing, but of real healing that involves the extending of open hearts and open minds and open arms and a full grasping of our responsibilities to ourselves and to each other. It is a really wonderful opportunity for human beings to grow.